In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Last week was the Feast of the Epiphany, when we heard the story of the wise men bringing gifts for the Christ child. Seems like months ago it was Christmas, but it was still just last Sunday. The word Epiphany means manifestation. In this season of Epiphany, which leads us right up to Lent, Christ is revealed in Scripture in the different stories we will read to the non-Jews, to the Gentiles. This season reveals for us the purpose of the arrival of Jesus into our world. I find it ironic when God sends his Son into the world, he sends it to a people who at the time saw themselves as exclusive, as insiders, and everyone else as outsiders. The Jewish people claimed they were God's chosen people, set aside from all other nations for God. The ultimate claim in exclusivity, of drawing sharp lines of who is in part of the group and who is on the outside. Yet right from the start, the stories of Jesus Christ become revealed in this season of Epiphany to those who are outside the group. Following the appearance of the Magi we heard last week, we have the story of John baptizing Jesus. All four of the Gospels have accounts of this story of Jesus' baptism. One of the points of this story is to connect the ministry of Jesus and build upon the existing ministry of John the Baptist. John represents the last of the prophets, whose role was to call Israel back to covenantal relationship with God. Although there were positive dimensions to John's prophetic message, we heard in the text today, he often denounces the sins of the people. He points to their failures to respond faithfully to God. John is primarily emphasizing punishment and the fate of the people if they do not return to covenantal relationship with God. Yet the coming one to whom John points to focuses far more on the positive side of faithfulness. Jesus' role is good news in a way that some of the prophetic preaching did not sound, at least to our modern ears. It is perhaps this shift in emphasis that allows Luke to refer to the preaching of John as he points to the coming one as one bringing good news. What was the good news Jesus was all about, and how does it connect to Epiphany? On Sunday after Christmas, maybe 6 years ago, we had a huge snowstorm. About 1:30 in the morning, my little daughter Anna crawled in my bed and woke me up just enough to get me thinking about the snowing outside and the work that lay ahead of me in the morning to shovel my car out and get to church. So I got out of bed, put on my clothes, went out, and started to shovel myself out. I did not have a snowblower. It took me 3 hours till 4:30 in the morning to clear a path out of my driveway. And while I was shoveling, I had a powerful spiritual experience that I want to tell you about. The problem with relaying a powerful spiritual experience is no matter what words I use, they will not convey the power that I felt that in that message that came to me, because it's experienced on the level of feeling and deep insight. Earlier that evening, I watched the movie The Lion King 2 with my children, which I had not seen before. The story follows up on the original Lion King, which most of us are familiar with, which ends with the death of the evil lion, Uncle Scar, who killed his brother, who was King Mufasa. The result was that Scar's pride of lions was banished from the kingdom and kept away as outsiders. Lion King 2 is about Scar's pride seeking revenge and trying to kill the new king, Simba. What happens, however, is that the granddaughter of the lion Mufasa, Kiara, falls in love with Kovu, a male lion of Scar's pride. It's basically a Romeo and Juliet story. In the end, rather than die, the two young lion lovers teach both of their communities that there are no insiders or outsiders. There is no them and us. There is only us. As I shoveled snow through the night, my epiphany, the revelation that came to me with a clarity I had never experienced before, was a simple message. Jesus came into this world to a community who saw themselves as insiders and everyone else as outsiders, to teach that there are no insiders and outsiders. There is no them and us. There is only us. The Apostle Paul got this message when he wrote in Galatians, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." We see it today in the passage of the Acts of the Apostles, where Peter and John go to a group of outsiders, the Samaritans, to lay hands on them to receive the Holy Spirit. And it is through the mystical power of the laying on of hands that this community receives power, energy, the truth of inclusion when God's Holy Spirit grabs hold of us. As I said to someone this week having a conversation around the power of the Spirit, we are dealing with fire and air, and we cannot control God's Spirit. The good news Christ teaches us is this truth. In spite of a world that's totally created against this inclusivity, God's reality, the truth is God includes all. The power structures of our world are set up so someone is inside and someone is on the outside. All worldly power is dependent on maintaining this man-made reality. From the moment Cain killed Abel, there were those who were inside and those outside. Someone has to lose in order for someone else to win. In reference to our current government shutdown, an NPR commentator reminded us this week of a cartoon that appeared in the New Yorker magazine a few years ago of two dogs toasting in a bar. And the caption read, "It's not enough that dogs succeed. Cats must also fail." That kind of describes our current life situation. The epiphany of Jesus is to proclaim loudly to the world that exclusion is a lie. Dichotomous, dualistic thinking is deeply rooted in fear of the other, keeping us in a them-us world. Yet the epiphany I had shoveling snow that year, while I wept uncontrollably in my driveway as I shoveled, was that Jesus came to invite you and I to live in a new way, a way in which there is no them and us. There is no Christian or Muslim or Jew. We are not in a religious competition of who is saved and who is not. God is not either or. Rather, the power we call God is all, and God is Jew and Christian and Muslim and Buddhist and Sikh and Hindu and Unitarian. God is about the non-believer, the seekers who know there is a deep reality in this universe, a power completely beyond description and certainly beyond control, and every single human being in our core yearn for that connection to to discover that deeper sense. We will be taking our young people in confirmation class to a mosque in order for them to experience and understand this deeper truth of unity. No human person or human community is separated from another. We are our brothers and sisters' keepers. The powers of this world would have us believe there are those who are inside and those who are outside of God's love and redemption. But the coming of Jesus Christ into our world is to simply tell us the world is lying. God is so much bigger than anything we can ask or imagine. It's our smallness, our fear of difference, our desire to maintain power over others that keeps us from creating this world as God intends it to be. It is my own desire to control my small corner of reality that prevents me from being fully the person God created me to be. This was that profound spiritual revelation that I was given during that snowstorm. And I've spent much of my life since that encounter trying to unpack its meaning in my own life. I am certain that this is the whole and simple truth of the Jesus event. The good news of Jesus Christ is that we are all one. Anything that divides us one from another is not of God. This does not mean there isn't evil in the world that needs to be challenged and confronted, but Jesus calls us to repent, to turn around, and to see the world as God sees it and intends it to be. Jesus took John's prophetic message a step further. Jesus underscored the true nature of God. Jesus understood God's true purpose was total inclusion of all God's creation, without exception. We hear today God's response to Jesus at his baptism. You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. You and I are also sons and daughters of a God who calls us to participate fully in this profound mystery of complete love and complete acceptance. Amen.